From Decrypt Media, this is the Decrypt Daily, and my name is Matthew Diemer. Today on the show, we talk to Bitstamp's CEO about their USA expansion, and we go into headlines. That's coming up today on the Decrypt Daily. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. So I've been playing with this theory, and I want to just run it past you guys so you can, well, email me, let me know what you think of it, and see if I'm on the right track. Okay, so I've been thinking about Apple and allowing people to opt out of sharing their data across platforms. And here's what I think about this. We first need a little bit of history. Everybody has been saying, protect our data. We the people have been saying, protect our data. Went to Congress, said, Congress, protect our data. Congress calls Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey and all these other people up, and they try to talk to him about tech, and they fail horribly, laughably horribly. And it never happens. Mark Zuckerberg goes to Congress and says, hey, regulate us. We need regulation. He literally just said this the other day. We are waiting for the regulation so we can build our business based off this regulation. We need regulation. And in the meantime, we see companies like Cambridge Analytica come out using your data, and not just the United States, but people all over the world using their data to manipulate elections and change opinion. And so through this whole time, we have a problem with the control of our data, who it's going to, and what it's being used for. And then finally, Apple comes out and says, well, if you're not going to do anything government, we will. And so they made the option for you to opt out of sharing your data across platforms, which in turn turns government into a product. Let me say that again. Governance and regulation is now a product of Apple, because it's not just data. It is the fact that they acted and the government did not or could not or would not, and they took action. Now, if you want regulation, if you want your data protected, that means you have to buy Apple, because the product is there within their hands. And now if I want to protect my data, if I want to make sure that my data is not shared through everybody for any purposes of marketing or manipulation or whatever, I can opt out only with Apple products. They have privatized governance, at least a small bit, maybe not totally. And I think the repercussions of this is going to be huge, because one, government does not like people taking their power. And two, companies are going to look at this and go, we can do this with other aspects that the government is failing to legislate on and regulate on. Watch us privatize all of this and make it products of our company. Freedom of speech by Coca-Cola. I mean, seriously. Anyway, that's my working thought. This is just the beginning of the episode, so I didn't want to go too deep into it. But send me your opinion. Matthew Aaron at Decrypt.co. Do you think I'm on the money with Apple has now turned regulation and governance into a product? Now, those crypto prices. Here comes the money. Here we go. Money talks. And I'm recording this at 10:45 Eastern Standard Time. Bitcoin's down 3%. Why, Bitcoin? Why can't you just be at 200,000? No, that's silly. Bitcoin, why aren't you at $500,000 yet? But you're only sitting at $55,720. Again, down 3% in 24. While Ethereum's at $3,995, down 2.2% in 24. Binance Coin, $657, down 0.2% in 24. And Dogecoin at number 4 at 49.9 cents, pretty much even from yesterday. Tether's in the number 5 spot. Cardano, XRP, Internet Computer, which we have no clue what that is. I think it's a rebranded Definity. Polkadot and Bitcoin Cash round out the top 10. Litecoin slips out of the top 10 to number 11. Total market cap for all of cryptocurrency, we're sitting at $2.23 trillion. And the BTC dominance still falling. It's at 42.9%. In our main conversation today, we're talking to Julian Sawyer, the CEO of Bitstamp. And he's going to talk about Bitstamp's expansion to the United States. Well, they're in the United States, but further expanding within the United States. Julian, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
U.S. expansion for Bitstamp. Ooh, you know what? This whole market is getting very exciting in the U.S. over here. Tell me what you guys are going to do.
Well, the Bitstamp brand is very well known. We're the oldest exchange in the world. We've been in the US for many years, but we've been spending our time investing in the regulatory frameworks and the compliance structures and building the team. And now is the right time for us to launch across the US, both from our consumer side and our institutional side. And I just think we're in a really pivotal moment within the industry, which is moving out from a very crypto-dominated world to the mass market, where people down the high street are now talking about crypto and Bitcoin and Ethereum, et cetera. And we want to be part of that conversation.
Excellent. And more so than just the conversation, you want to be part of the transactions that are happening in the US and everything that's rolling out. What does this look like? What does the competition look like? And what does this look like for the retail investor?
Well, I think what's happening now is there's a couple of major trends that are occurring. We've seen people like Robinhood coming out there being free, but we know that free actually there is a cost associated with that. So for us, trust and transparency is really key. So transparency on fees and the costs of trading and storing your digital assets with us, but also then the trust around the regulatory framework. And this becomes super important when you think of financial services, you think about banking, payments, and crypto exchanges, it's all around trust. Where are you going to put your money? Where is it going to be safe?
And so how are you going to create that trust? Now, look, I'm just opposing this. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. You mentioned Robinhood. Is that going to be a direct competitor of yours, or is it going to be more of like a Coinbase, Binance.us?
I think it's going to be more of the Coinbase and Krakens of the world is our competitor. But what we are seeing is that consumers are now getting engaged with Bitcoin and others. And they're engaging on a whole range of different products, whether that is PayPal or Robinhood, which will probably be, I'm doing something else with my financial world, and now I've got a little bit of crypto. Or that you're going to someone like Bitstamp and say, I now want to do something a little bit more serious, a little bit more grown up. I understand that I want to have transparency and pricing, or I want to have trust, I want to have stability, and I want to have what is really important, uptime. So, you know, when the markets change, and we know that they do on a daily basis, we want to make sure that we have always got liquidity, we've always got pricing, and our systems are always up. So for us, it's a little bit about maturity. So as consumers start getting a little bit mature about buying and selling and trading, that they will come to us to be able to use our products and to have those benefits, which I've mentioned.
How do you plan to do that in the US? Look, I mean, I'm not saying this in a negative way in any way. I'm just asking the questions. I apologize if it comes off the wrong way. But Coinbase just went direct listing. Coinbase has a very big known name in the United States. So when we're talking in Gemini as well, and Kraken is starting to move in as well, as you mentioned. But when it comes to name recognition, Coinbase is the top dog in the US. How do you plan to create that trust and stability when it comes to name brand and going against somebody like Coinbase and peeling away some of that market share?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a whole range of different things that we're going to do within the marketing side, both from the institutional and on the consumer. It's around some of our messaging. It's also how people interact with our app and with our website and then have word of mouth. So without a doubt, this is not an overnight thing. This is suddenly going to shift everybody from a dominant player. But it is around the quality of our solutions and our product set and ensuring that people understand the transparency on fees. So for me, this is a journey. This is a set of stepping stones. We've spent the last couple of years building out the regulatory infrastructure, the compliance infrastructure, etc. And it doesn't, you know, as I said earlier, you know, we are the oldest exchange in the world. We're celebrating our 10th birthday this year, which is going to be great. Hopefully we can come and talk about that in due course. But, you know, we've seen an awful lot about the market, and this is super important for us in terms of having the dialogue with consumers.
Congratulations on 10 years. And when that time does come, I hope you do come back on and talk about your 10th anniversary. You mentioned something very interesting there when you said that you're going to create that by your app and the way that it works and the interface and the UI with your clients. And that's going to create the trust and the stability that you are talking about. Where do you see the pain points right now with something like Coinbase or other companies that are in the US market that you think you could do better?
So I think it is some of the elements I mentioned earlier in terms of trust. So about system security, systems resilience, et cetera. we've all seen the press when, you know, the markets are highly volatile, which exchanges are up and down. As our exchange in the bull run that we're still in has been the best across all the major exchanges. That is what people want. And I think what we need to be able to do is to inform people, tell them, you know, we're a AA exchange, rated exchange. That means there is a degree of security and resilience around that, and also ensuring about the integrity of our assets that we are listing. We don't list every asset. This is not a rush to quantity. This is about quality, and quality means stability of the assets and liquidity of the assets. And that, again, is something that we need to educate. This is not just going after the latest fad.
Last question I have for you is, why the U.S. market? Obviously, we could just start assuming and juxtaposing all kinds of, you know, our own thoughts in there. But Coinbase went direct listing. Then you see, and almost it's like everybody followed Coinbase and said, hey, we're going to come in here. We're going to make a push. You know, Binance.us just hired Brian Brooks as the CEO. They're having a hiring frenzy right now, 5X-ing their employees. Now you're saying that you're going to move to the U.S. Kraken, Gemini is trying to expand. All these other companies are coming in. Why is the U.S. so tempting, has so much opportunity for people to move in?
So what I think is super important, and some of the things that we have seen over the last 2 or 3 months, is just the number of customers, huge number of customers have come to us. And who are those people? What is really interesting is we're not talking about people who have necessarily moved from one exchange to another. This isn't about churn. This is about new users and uses for digital assets. That becomes super exciting. So this isn't about the market is a certain size and we're all now just trying to fight over that. The market is growing exponentially, and not only just for sort of Bitcoin and some of the more traditional type digital assets, but all the different use cases for how we can use this technology in a whole range of different things, including payments and such like. So for us, that becomes super exciting. 25% of our revenue globally comes from the US. So this isn't, we've just landed here. We've been here for many years. What we are now doing is really pushing and shouting about that, because there was a lot of connection between what's happening in Europe and what's happening in the United States. And so there's a great synergy. And we've also opened our Singapore office as well, because this is a global product. And so I think it would be very difficult to have a global product and not be in the US. Hugely exciting. But also it's that innovation of different use cases for what we can use this technology for, I think is where it becomes super exciting.
I lied to you. That wasn't my last question. This is my last question. You know, and I'm asking this because a lot of companies like yours are coming to the U.S. or coming or trying to expand right now in the middle of a bull run. And we've seen this before. We've seen the cycle of Bitcoin, you know, go up, you know, has a nice, you know, 12 months of up, and everybody's making money and everybody's doing well and customers are coming in. And then the crypto winter comes in and nobody's making money. Nobody's expanding. Everybody's hibernating until the next bull run. Do you think that we are in the normal Bitcoin cycle, or are we in a super cycle? And how do you think that's going to play out to your business plans?
I think we are in a different bull run than we were 3 or 4 years ago. And I think every commentator is kind of saying the same thing. What I think is, if you take a step back, you know, Bitstamp's a financial services company that is doing crypto. Just that language is fundamentally different than a number of other exchanges, and certainly how communications was 2, 3, 4 years ago. What is exciting is those different types of use cases. What are you using these crypto assets for, and how can society, and that's a very grand word, but how can society use this for the greater good? So is this around payments? Is this about remittances? Is this about e-gaming? What are these use cases? And on your show, you always have loads of guests on there talking about different things. They all need an exchange. They need the compliance framework, the risk, the regulator wants this. So for us, the opportunity is much, much wider than just the price of Bitcoin and the volatility around that. It is much wider than that. And that is where it becomes really exciting to look beyond just that one asset class.
Julian Sawyer, CEO of Bitstamp, thank you very much for coming on the show and talking to us about your U.S. expansion. I'm excited about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
And moving on to today's headlines. Kathy Wood, CEO of investment management firm ARK Investment, has joined the board of a company called Amun Holdings. and Amun Holdings is a crypto firm and ETP provider in Zurich, Switzerland. That firm has approximately $2 billion of assets under management. And you're probably wondering what an ETP is. An ETP is an exchange-traded product, and they're a type of security that tracks underlying securities, indexes, or financial instruments. If you know Kathy Woods, is very bullish on Bitcoin, very bullish on Tesla, and overall very bullish on the crypto space and emerging technologies and innovation. She also has a huge position in Coinbase after the direct listing. So, Kathy Woods is somebody to keep an eye on in ARK Investment as well, if you want to know what's going on in the tech, innovation, emerging technology space. Basically, whatever they put their money into, take a look at. Ethereum co-founder Joe Lubin says there are four big trends, what he calls the four horses, that are ushering in adoption for the crypto ecosystem. These are blockchain, cryptocurrency, DeFi, and NFTs. He says this: the first blockchain horses were cypherpunks, cryptographers, protocol designers, and monetary theorists. The second horse were the exchange operators, traders, and wallet providers. The third horse were the finance nerds that became crypto finance people and started designing blockchain-based financial instruments and mechanisms for writing these DeFi projects. And finally, he says, NFTs, because they're taking cryptocurrency into pop culture. So these are the four pillars, or the four horses, of the crypto ecosystem, according to Joe Lubin. CZ Zhao, the CEO of Binance, has some choice words for Shiba Inu, the Dogecoin knockoff that just kind of like blew up, has like $11 billion market cap, and made a lot of people rich overnight. And for some reason, Vitalik has $8 billion worth of this, and I have no clue why. I'll get into that some other time. I really don't want to talk about a billionaire getting more billions. But anyway, CZ Zhao says, look, take this with a grain of salt. He listed it on Binance. It was listed on Binance yesterday, but be careful. I don't know anything about it. Basically, CZ Zhao says this, end quote. Some have voiced concerns about SHIB listing. It's SHIB, by the way, is their ticker. We follow users. There are a large number of users demanding it, to a point where we ran out of ETH deposit addresses due to SHIB today. Never happened before for any other ERC-20 coin. I am not endorsing it. Super high risk, not financial advice. So, CZ is giving warnings about stuff that he's listing on his platform might make you raise an eyebrow and DYOR, or do your own research. Be careful out there. Be careful. And finally, Tom Brady has laser eyes. What does this mean? Is he buying Bitcoin? Is he hodling Bitcoin? Is he going to buy Bitcoin? Or is he just promoting Bitcoin? Regardless, Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks to have ever lived, is now laser-eyed up and promoting Bitcoin. And it makes me wonder, why do people like Tom Brady, and this kind of might sound like, you know, poor person talking about rich person sort of thing, but why does somebody like Tom Brady even care? You know, like, he is set. He's rich as hell. He doesn't need to worry about Bitcoin. What is his motivation for the laser eyes? Is he trying to protect his wealth from inflation? Is that what it is? He's looking at his hundreds of millions of dollars going, I don't want this to go down to less money, and I want to put it into something that's stable. I'm going to buy some gold and Bitcoin and other things. Or is it more of like the ethos of it? Is he looking at this going, you know what? This actually makes sense. I get it. I want to promote this because of literally the ethos, the ideology behind Bitcoin. What makes Tom Brady tick when it comes to Bitcoin and laser eyes? That's what I'm really curious about. Not that he has laser eyes, but why? Why do you care? Why do you care, Tom? Anyway, I'm happy you do care. More people getting into Bitcoin, more big names getting into Bitcoin, makes it just that much more mainstream. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Decrypt Daily. Don't forget to go to Apple Podcasts, like, subscribe, share, and leave a comment. No matter what country you're in, your Apple iTunes, Apple App Store, that's a mouthful, has a place for you to leave comments. Leave a comment. I read them all. Maybe in your country only once or twice every month, but if you're in the US, I click on that daily to see what people say. You can also send me an email, MatthewAaron@decrypt.co. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Until then, happy hodling.